This morning on WCHL, we'll fill you in on details of the tragic death of a 14-year-old student at East Chapel Hill High School. The swift action of Chapel Hill police captured a suspect yesterday after a home invasion.
The officer said that at least one of the residents had met this person before, so not a complete stranger.
And several cases involving the injury or death of personal pets have been reported locally, and coyotes could be to blame.
We don't want to fuel the sense on the part of people that anything has changed with coyotes.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Harbor Road traffic and weather together. And in WCHL Championship Sports, need we say, it's Carolina and Duke for real this time, hopefully. Plus, we'll update you on the local high school basketball conference tournaments. And
the Tar Heels need to avoid an opening onslaught tonight.
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 at WCHL. We have 53 degrees in Chapel Hill and mostly cloudy for the first part of the day. Slight chance of showers and actually a nice day for the most part. High today, about 65 degrees. Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools spokesperson Jeff Nash says a 14-year-old male student at East Chapel Hill High School died on Wednesday, presumably from meningococcal disease. Nash says at this time has not been confirmed whether he had meningitis at the time of his death. He says the school worked closely with the Orange County Health Department to make sure other students are safe. East Chapel Hill Principal Eileen Tully sent out a message to parents informing them of the situation. She shared a letter from Health Director Colleen Bridger, which included more information about the disease. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, symptoms of meningococcal disease include nausea, vomiting, photophobia, which is increased sensitivity to light, and an altered mental status, often confusion. The disease is spread through the exchange of respiratory and throat secretions like saliva. Anyone experiencing symptoms should contact the Orange County Health Department or your personal physician immediately. Principal Tully plans to meet with students this morning, according to Nash, and counselors will be available at the school for students. The health department worked to find a list of close friends of the student and call their families last night. Chapel Hill police responded on Wednesday to a report of a one-man home invasion on Cotton Street just a little after midnight. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
Police got the call at 12:36 a.m. When they arrived at the scene, the suspect, 21-year-old Malik Antonio Burris of Durham, was running away. Police caught and arrested him. Lieutenant Josh Meesemore, the Chapel Hill Police Department, said it's believed Burris may know at least one occupant of the residence.
The officer said that at least one of the residents had met this person before, so not a complete stranger.
Burris is charged with first-degree burglary, assault with a deadly weapon, and injury to personal property. Burris allegedly had a gun and fired a single shot into a wall during a scuffle with the home's occupants. No one was injured by the gunshot, but Burris was transported to UNC Hospital with a non-life-threatening injury.
I think he sustained a laceration to the back of his head.
Meesemore said there were four people at the home when Burris allegedly broke in through a window.
At least two reported that they were UNC students.
The lieutenant said there is no universal right way for victims to handle a crime situation like this because everyone is different. But there is one obvious way to help prevent break-ins.
The biggest recommendation that I could make related to the incident is to lock your doors and windows because this person came in through either an unlocked or open window.
The area where the break-in occurred has a mix of students and local residents. Meesemore noted that while no area in Chapel Hill is particularly prone to home invasions, UNC students are uniquely vulnerable.
We do find that in areas that are mostly or have a high number of students that, you know, there are certain times of the year where we have more break-ins.
Usually, these crimes don't occur while someone is at home. The vast majority occur during the day while people are at work or at school. Holiday breaks and fall breaks are times when it's most likely to happen, so students are advised to take valuables with them, particularly electronics, when they travel. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Yesterday, a day before the rescheduled UNC-Duke basketball matchup, the rivalry has already inspired some mischief in the form of vandalism on the UNC campus. The Daily Tar Heel first reported yesterday a few buildings on UNC's campus were spray-painted with familiar slogans early Wednesday morning. UNC's Department of Public Safety spokesman Randy Young tells WCHL that the graffiti either badmouthed Carolina or mentioned Duke.
There were are three that were reported to us today, and we all believe that it's, in all likelihood, related incidents.
Those were at South Building, the Campus Y, and the Student Union. Another incident was reported recently regarding North Carolina State-themed graffiti painted in red against a red facade. UNC public safety officers believe that incident happened earlier in the season. Young says that, fortunately, vandalism like this doesn't happen every year.
Some folks feel that it's a long-standing tradition. There have been incidents that have dated back decades, of course. It is not something that happens every single year. Prank or not, we do take it very seriously when it comes to matters of damage to university property, as would any officials over at Duke University as well.
And he adds, anybody getting caught committing vandalism could be in for serious legal trouble. Young says that cooperation between UNC's public safety officers and their counterparts over at Duke regarding the issue is where all attitudes about a rivalry get put aside. And he warns against any Carolina students committing some equal form of retaliation.
If there's information that we can work in collaboration to arrive at with Duke University police, then we don't rule that out as well.
Young has a request for people walking around the UNC campus that pertains to now or at any time of the year.
We would like to say to the campus community and beyond that if anybody sees suspicious activity, and this is not just related to this series of incidents, but any incidents on campus, that they call 911.
Young says that while he appreciates the tradition of pranks and one-upmanship, there's no reason that graffiti needs to cause expensive damage.
We have a cube upon which things can be painted for free expression in our pit area. Folks have not availed themselves of that.
He can't recall too many people getting caught for spraying game-related graffiti on the campus, but there was one memorable incident.
There were some folks a number of years ago that spray-painted using red paint on the eve of the University of North Carolina and NC State basketball game, and some graffiti was put on the bell tower and other prominent areas of campus, and believe we were able to identify those folks because they had were fairly proud of the artwork and had posted it on Facebook.
For more on this story, you can read it on chapelboro.com. Orange County Animal Services is warning pet owners about several cases involving injured, killed, or missing pets. Two of the incidents are believed to be the result of wildlife attacks on pets, possibly coyotes. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
In both of these situations, the dogs died. One dog apparently died from an attack of another animal. In the other situation, the dog apparently was very seriously injured as a result of an attack of other animals.
That's Bob Murado, director of Orange County Animal Services. The first dog death was believed to have occurred as a result of a wildlife attack, but Animal Services couldn't make an absolute determination because of a lack of communication with the dog's owner. He cannot confirm that either of the attacks were from coyotes, but Animal Services is not ruling out the possibility. In 2013, there were complaints about coyotes following people in southern Orange County, though Murado said there haven't been any attacks on animals or humans confirmed recently.
I would really underscore that because we don't want to fuel the sense on the part of people that anything has changed with coyotes.
If your pets have sustained injuries of an unknown origin or have disappeared from a setting that could potentially involve wildlife, Murado said it is imperative to contact Animal Services immediately. Reporting these incidents allows the department to track and collect data regarding possible wildlife attacks.
We can assess these situations to be sure that people are doing what it is that needs to be done to avert any unwanted contact with wildlife and to coexist.
Murado said these recent attacks also show the importance of vaccinating your pets against rabies. Rabies is typically transmitted from the bite of a rabies-infected animal. Raccoons and bats are the main carriers of rabies in mid-Atlantic states, but coyotes can also be carriers. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And speaking of animals, there are some people in Orange County who have made it their mission to bring back Hillsborough Hog Day. That story coming up on WCHL. News time is 7:15. And time now for traffic and weather together. This traffic report is brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Big games are always right around the corner. For example, there's one tonight. So why not call ahead and order from Dickie's for the game, and they'll have your feast ready for you. You can stop by and choose from 8 juicy hickory smoked meats. Dickie's is next to New Hope Commons in Durham. Great place for a pregame meal. Either eat it there or take it home with you. Now with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. 15501 northbound, seeing a slight delay right now between Ephesus Church Road and I-40. NC-54 heading westbound between I-40 and Barbie Chapel Road, also seeing a slight delay. Otherwise, things moving smoothly this morning. A good start to the day on I-40, the Durham Freeway. MLK, Estes Drive, and Franklin Street. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate that. And time now to turn to your Chapel Hill Carborough weather. And it looks pretty good today. Cruisers brings it to you. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving fresh brewed coffee fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruisers. Good to go. All right, 53 degrees in Chapel Hill right now, 52 in Carborough, where it's always a degree cooler. Mostly cloudy, 20% chance of showers this morning. A high today in the middle 60s. Tonight, partly cloudy, not as cool, with a low in the low 60s. Believe it or not, low in the low 60s tonight? My goodness. Shouldn't have any problem getting over here tonight, Duke. Tomorrow, showers with a chance of thunderstorms in the morning, and then partly sunny with a chance of showers and maybe even thunder boomers in the afternoon tomorrow. Our high tomorrow in the middle 60s. Going to be kind of windy late in the day, and the chance of rain is close to 100% all day tomorrow. So go ahead and get ready for that.
All day and all night, 97.9 FM, WCHL is your source for breaking news, up-to-the-minute weather, and all kinds of information on our local community. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, and instantly live streaming on chapelboro.com. There's an app for that. Now, back to Ron Stutz.
WCHL News Time is 7:17. A group of Orange County residents have made it their mission to bring back the hog. They hope to keep the 32-year tradition of Hillsborough Hog Day going. Their tentative theme this year will be bringing home the bacon. The event, which is Orange County's largest festival incorporating food, music, and other activities, was hosted by the Hillsborough Orange County Chamber of Commerce. However, the group decided to cancel it back in January. The Chamber's board said it was supposed to be a fundraiser for the organization, but the undertaking had just become too large for a small staff to handle. Craig Lloyd, who's helping to organize efforts to bring the festival back, recently retired as executive director of the Hillsborough Orange County Chamber of Commerce and also ran the event for about 6 years.
We actually started this as soon as we heard that the chamber was looking at canceling it this year. We kind of put together an all-star team of veterans, volunteers, supporters of Hog Day over the years.
That team includes Joe Cruz, who helped to found Hog Day, Jim Dooley, who served as chairman of the event, and Jeff Woods, owner of Carolina Game and Fish in Hillsborough, who helped in past barbecue operations.
We all have a passion and a love for our community, and this festival has meant a lot to us.
Hog Day will likely be held at the Okanichi Speedway on Elizabeth Brady Road, which is run by the Historic Speedway Group. The goal this year, Lloyd explained, is to bring back some of the original elements of the festival. The plan is to move it back to the third weekend in June as well.
We're kind of bringing back the old team and a lot of the things that we used to do way back when, from the old fun contest, like the hog hollering contest as well, that I think we'll be excited about.
Lloyd said the group is currently looking for sponsors, volunteers, vendors, and crafters to help make Hog Day a reality. Since creating the hogday@email.com address, he shared that the group has received more than 500 emails from people expressing interest in helping out. If you'd like more information on how you can volunteer, visit this story on our website at chapelboro.com. WCHL News Time, 7:20. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. North Carolina's men's basketball team faces number 5 Duke tonight in the Smith Center for a 9 p.m. tip-off with the eyes of the college basketball world on Chapel Hill. WCHL's Matt Oakes has a preview.
The 237th installment of what is widely believed to be the greatest rivalry in college sports promises to be another classic encounter between two of the most iconic programs in college basketball. Although a week and a day later than originally scheduled due to the winter storm, this game is shaping up to be memorable. Carolina comes into the contest on a roll, winning 7 straight games, while Duke has been overwhelming ACC foes, save Syracuse, for weeks leading up to the Tobacco Road rivalry. Head coach Roy Williams says Carolina didn't let the postponement affect them, picking up 2 key ACC wins.
Well, we've played 2 more games, so that part has helped our confidence, there's no question. But I thought we were really in a good frame of mind at that point, too. And so I've tried to just blow that off and say, hey, we're going to play next week instead of now.
Sophomore guard Marcus Page says the team's ability to escape with a win against Florida State without the services of James Michael McAdoo was a huge confidence booster for the Tar Heels.
To have him play the way he did against Florida State and have us still be able to bounce back and win, that's big for us because we know that that's not going to happen to James Michael very often. He's obviously, he's going to play a lot better than that 99 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100. So it gave the rest of the guys a confidence boost. And I think, you know, if they can play the way they've been playing and we can get his production back, that'd be perfect.
Many Tar Heel and Blue Devil players grew up playing basketball with each other. Page says that familiarity factor only adds fuel to the fire of the rivalry.
That is pretty cool because, you know, we all know each other, you know, from the AAU circuit. We play so many games on the circuit at camps and, you know, Skills Academy and stuff like that. That kind of helps the rivalry. You know the guys you're playing against and you're going to play against them for a couple more years. You've already been playing against them. So it makes it more interesting and it makes it a little bit more personal. And I guess it brings up the intensity level of the games too.
Coach Williams says although he tries to treat the Duke game like all the others, the fact remains that this one is just, quote, different.
But this is different, too. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. It's different. With 10 miles away, sometimes it seems like hundreds of miles away because of snow and things like that. But two programs that have been very successful for a long time. So I think it's always going to be a little different.
Carolina leads the all-time series 132-104, but the Blue Devils claim the last meeting between the two schools 69-53 in March of 2013. UNC is an even 39-39 against Duke since Mike Krzyzewski became the Duke head coach. Thursday night's game will tip the scales one way or another. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Matt had the opportunity to talk with Chris Spatola of CBS Sports about tonight's big Carolina Duke game.
Hey, Matt, feels like it's deja vu talking Carolina Duke again, huh? No, absolutely.
All right, Bryce Johnson, Kennedy Meeks appear to have emerged as solid alternatives to McAdoo and Page for the Tar Heels. Do you feel Carolina's offense is starting to click with a lot of different options emerging?
I do, and I actually don't think, there are other options. I think they've supplemented McAdoo and Page, frankly, because they're doing some of the dirty work. And when you look at what those two guys have done in their last seven games alone, I mean, they're averaging, like, combined, Johnson and Meeks are averaging, like, 20 points and 13 boards, and really the boards being the most important part of it. I just think they've really supplemented Marcus Page and James Michael McAdoo, and I think their offense is clicking as a result. I still think defense has been their calling card in this resurgence for Carolina, and I think it will continue to have to be. But there's no question those two big guys, young big guys, are playing a lot better.
Absolutely. And the defense, you just mentioned it, Chris, seems to be the bedrock for this team. The Tar Heels believe they can survive really any offensive droughts with that pressure they're applying on the defensive end. What are your thoughts there, and do you think that really is the major key for UNC in this Duke game tonight?
I think it is. I'll tell you that more specifically, you know, we know that Carolina is not a team that shoots threes real well, but the thing they've done and where the defense has come through for them is they're defending the three-point line as well as anybody. Again, in their last seven games, they're holding teams to 29% from the three-point line. Carolina's only making four threes a game, but their opponents are only making five. So I think that's a big thing in this game against Duke tonight. I think Duke's a team that makes about 10 threes a game. They take a lot of them, and if Carolina can limit those opportunities, force Duke into either putting the ball on the floor or shooting a low percentage, I think it definitely favors Carolina.
That is Chris Spatola of CBS Sports. Just a portion of the conversation with Matt Oakes for you this morning. You can hear the whole conversation on our website at chapelbrook.com. Next hour, I'll be talking with C.L. Brown of ESPN about tonight's big Carolina-Duke matchup. You know, they always say you never know what's going to happen in the Atlantic Coast Conference from one night to the other. That was certainly proven last night because it was Boston College defeating Syracuse in overtime last night. Some three-pointers in the overtime. overtime period, and Lonnie Jackson made four straight free throws in the final 26 seconds. Lowly BC stunned top-ranked Syracuse, previously undefeated, 62-59 last night. Eagles actually came to town with heavy hearts and a good dose of determination. Longtime basketball media contact and sports information assistant Dick Kelly died last week after a two-year battle with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. His funeral was Tuesday, and the Eagles, who often visited him, were wearing DK patches on their uniforms. Boston College, now 7-19, 3-10 in the Atlantic Coast Conference, had lost five straight. They rallied from a 13-point second-half deficit to pull off the improbable win. The Eagles had dropped six games by 4 points or fewer, including 74-71 at Georgia Tech and 73-69 at Notre Dame, but they got the big upset last night, and Syracuse will be traveling to number 5 Duke on Saturday night for a rematch of their overtime instant classic back on February 1st. Of course, we'll have the Carolina-Duke game for you tonight right here on WCHL. Now, the Carolina women are also busy tonight. The number 11-ranked North Carolina women's basketball team on a real roll now, 20-6 in the season, 8-4 in the ACC, will look to continue their fine play as of late. They will take on Virginia tonight in Charlottesville, and tip-off time is 6:30. Tar Heels have really caught the attention of the nation with thrilling road wins over a pair of top-10 teams in Duke and North Carolina State, thanks in large part to the dominating performances put in by freshman Diamond Shields. She was named ESPN's National Player of the Week on Monday. In addition, teammate Alicia Gray was named the ACC's Rookie of the Week for the third time this season, following an impressive week of play. It's always tough to play in Charlottesville. And quickly here, at the end of our next newscast on WCHL, which is at the bottom of the hour, Rand Northam will bring you up to date on what's happening in high school basketball. That is about 10 minutes from now on WCHL, and you certainly want to stay tuned for that. But again, our focus for the most part today is on Carolina and Duke. Big game tonight. Was supposed to take place last week. Didn't. And now it's happening tonight. Shortly after 9 o'clock, it will start. 728 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
The Tar Heels need to avoid an opening onslaught tonight. This is Art Chansky with Thursday Sports Notebook. Duke's win over Georgia Tech Tuesday night was scary. Did you see it? The Blue Devils came out with their most aggressive defense of the season, and the Jackets could barely complete a pass for the first 10 minutes of the game. By then, Duke had a double-digit lead and started looking ahead to tonight. That game reminded me of how the Blue Devils began their last trip to the Smith Center on Senior Night 2013. By shutting down the Tar Heel offense and making a barrage of three-pointers, they built what seemed like an insurmountable lead and silenced a disheartened home crowd. Carolina must avoid the same kind of start to avoid losing three straight at home to the Dukies. Is Duke better this season than last? It's close, but I really don't think so. Rashid Suleiman, Andre Dawkins, and the other guards can all get hot from outside, but none is as good as Seth Curry could be. And while freshman Jabari Parker is likely the top pick in the 2014 NBA draft, he is not as big as Mason Plumlee and Ryan Kelly. So Kennedy Meeks and Bryce Johnson have a chance to get something done inside while James Michael McAdoo tries to contain Parker. Duke came out of the blocks at Tech to make a statement for that game and also this one. The Devils wanted us to be thinking about such a blitzkrieg to start the game and try to sucker the Tar Heels into playing too fast and impatiently. Yes, we like to run, but we cannot run without a purpose. Play solid 5-on-5 defense and avoid too many switches that would leave their three-ball shooters open. Duke is going to make some threes, hopefully not 50%. And as Roy Williams said Wednesday, to beat Duke, you have to outscore Duke. That's a challenge for a Tar Heel team that has been limited offensively but is improving. Take the runouts when you can get them, but the rest of the time, make sure you get good shots. Despite what it looked like at Tech, Duke's defense is vulnerable and continue to be the best rebounding and shot-blocking team in the ACC. If Duke's intent at Georgia Tech was to scare us, mission accomplished. But it can also be a tip that Carolina needs to take very seriously. 2 weeks ago, and maybe even last week, the Tar Heels could not have made enough plays on both ends of the floor to beat Duke. Now they can, but they have to start the way they want to finish. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
It stands among the greatest of violin concertos. For nearly two centuries, its melodies have delighted and its virtuosity astonished. Hear the dazzling Karen Gomio and the North Carolina Symphony in Mendelssohn's sparkling violin concerto. Also, James Gaffigan conducts music from Tchaikovsky's Swan. Tickets start at just $18. Call 919-733-2750 or go to Ticketmaster.com. February 27th in Chapel Hill at UNC's Memorial Hall, and the 28th and March 1st at Maimandy Concert Hall. Tchaikovsky and Mendelssohn with your North Carolina Symphony.
Want to get an early start on your spring cleaning? You're in luck. Jewel Recycle in University Mall wants to help you monetize your unneeded precious metals. Located beside Chick-fil-A, Jewel Recycle will make you a generous offer on your unused gold and silver jewelry, coins, sterling flatware, or other precious metals. Take in your valuables today through March 1st, and they will buy you a delicious Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich just for the opportunity to make you a no-obligation offer and for mentioning this ad.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Oasis at Carmel. Save half off, $20 worth of food and drinks, available now for $10. Oasis is located in downtown Carrboro in Carmel. But at night, the space is transformed into an environment of entertainment, connections, and inspiration. Oasis features organic coffees, aromatic teas, wines and beers, homemade pastries, chocolates, quiches, and more. Many options are also vegetarian, vegan, and or gluten-free. It's half off from Oasis. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carver weather, 53 degrees this morning. Got a lot of clouds. We'll have a slight chance of rain today, particularly early. But our high today in the middle 60s, and actually a pretty good day. Tonight, partly cloudy, not as cool, with a low in the low 60s. Are you kidding me? And then tomorrow, close to a 100% chance of rain and some strong winds late in the day as well.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM WCHL, and you'll find it on our website, chapelborough.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. In Kiev, protesters' firecrackers are no match for police bullets. Here's Sky News' David Bowden.
The police hit back very hard with volleys of fire. I saw one sniper with a spotter on a bag of sandbags, basically just picking people out.
Up to 22 people may have died today in Kiev, including one policeman. That's despite a truce that was called in the past day. In Ukraine's capital, CBS's Holly Williams says around Independence Square,
this is an area where there's normally upmarket shoppers and restaurants. It's now become a battleground.
The demonstrators have occupied that square for nearly 3 months now.
They say that they are determined to fight for their freedom and democracy using violent means if they have to do so. President Yanukovych has said that the protesters have clearly crossed a line, and he says that his government is now involved in an anti-terrorist operation.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
53 degrees this morning, 7:34, beginning of a really nice day and a really big basketball game coming up tonight on WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz. Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools spokesperson Jeff Nash says a 14-year-old male student of East Chapel Hill High School died on Wednesday, presumably from meningococcal disease. Nash says at this time it's not been confirmed whether he had meningitis at the time of his death. He says the school worked closely with the Orange County Health Department to make sure other students are safe. East Chapel Hill Principal Eileen Tully sent a message to parents informing them of the situation. She shared a letter from Health Director Colleen Bridger, which included more information about the disease. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, symptoms of meningococcal disease include nausea, vomiting, photophobia, which is increased sensitivity to light, and an altered mental status or confusion. The disease is spread through the exchange of respiratory respiratory and throat secretions like saliva. Anyone experiencing symptoms should contact the Orange County Health Department or your personal physician immediately. Principal Tully plans to meet with students this morning, according to Nash, and counselors will be there today for students. The health department worked to find a list of close friends of the student who died and call their families last night. Chapel Hill police responded on Wednesday to a report of a one-man home invasion on Cotton Street just a little after midnight. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more on the story.
Police got the call at 12:36 a.m. When they arrived at the scene, the suspect, 21-year-old Malik Antonio Burris of Durham, was running away. Police caught and arrested him. Lieutenant Josh Meesemore of the Chapel Hill Police Department said it's believed Burris may know at least one occupant of the residence.
The officer said that at least one of the residents had met this person before, so not a complete stranger.
Burris is charged with first-degree burglary, assault with a deadly weapon, and injury to personal property. Burris allegedly had a gun and fired a single shot into a wall during a scuffle with the home's occupants. No one was injured by the gunshot, but Burris was transported to UNC Hospital with a non-life-threatening injury.
I think he sustained a laceration to the back of his head.
Meesemore said there were four people at the home when Burris allegedly broke in through a window.
At least two reported that they were UNC students.
The lieutenant said there is no universal right way for victims to handle a crime situation like this because everyone is different. But there is one obvious way to help prevent break-ins.
The biggest recommendation that I could make related to the incident is to lock your doors and windows because this person came in through either an unlocked or open window.
The area where the break-in occurred has a mix of students and local residents. Meesemore noted that while no area in Chapel Hill is particularly prone to home invasions, UNC students are uniquely vulnerable.
We do find that in areas that are mostly or have a high number of students, that there are certain times of the year where we have more break-ins.
Usually, these crimes don't occur while someone is at home. The vast majority occur during the day while people are at work or at school. Holiday breaks and fall breaks are times when it's most likely to happen, so students are advised to take valuables with them, particularly electronics, when they travel. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Well, yesterday, the Duke-Carolina rivalry has already inspired some mischief in the form of vandalism on the UNC campus. The Daily Tar Heel first reported yesterday morning a few buildings on the UNC campus were spray-painted with familiar slogans. UNC's Department of Public Safety spokesman Randy Young tells WCHL that the graffiti either badmouthed Carolina or mentioned Duke.
There were three that were reported to us today, and we all believe that it's in all likelihood related incidents.
Those were at the South Building, the Campus Y, and the Student Union. Another incident was reported recently regarding North Carolina State-themed graffiti painted in red against a red facade. UNC public safety officers believe that incident happened earlier in the season. Young says that fortunately, vandalism like this doesn't happen every year.
Some folks feel that it's a long-standing tradition. There have been incidents that have dated back decades, of course. It is not something that happens every single year. Prank or not, we do take it very seriously when it comes to matters of damage to university property, as would any officials over at Duke University as well.
And he adds, anybody getting caught committing vandalism like this could be in for some serious legal trouble. Young says that cooperation between UNC's public safety officers and their counterparts at Duke regarding the issue is where all attitudes about a rivalry get put aside. And he warns against any Carolina students committing some equal form of retaliation.
If there's information that we can work in collaboration to arrive at with Duke University police, then we don't rule that out as well.
You can't recall too many folks getting caught for spraying game-related graffiti on campus, but there was one rather memorable incident.
There were some folks a number of years ago that spray-painted using red paint on the eve of the University of North Carolina and NC State basketball game, and some graffiti was put on the bell tower and other prominent areas of campus, and believe we were able to identify those folks because they had were fairly proud of the artwork and had posted it on Facebook.
And apparently the artist not too smart either. We have more details on that story on our website at chapelbro.com. As promised, highlighting high school basketball this morning as well. Top seeds advanced from the first round of the 3A Big 8 Conference Tournament last night on their home courts, whittling the field down to four boys and four girls teams. WCHL's Rand Northam has details.
The undefeated Chapel Hill girls limited county foe Orange to just a single point in each of the first two quarters. The Panthers scored 8 in the third and 8 in the fourth, but the outcome of the 69-18 decision was never in question. The Tigers host the Southern Spartans tonight at 5:30. Southern knocked Northwood out of the postseason. The Cardinal Gibbons girls cruise to a 71-17 victory against Northern Vance. The Crusaders face either Cedar Ridge or Webb in round two tonight at 7 o'clock in Raleigh. The Chapel Hill boys held off Northwood 53-49 to advance to round two, where the Tigers face the Southern Spartans tonight at 7 o'clock. Freshman sensation David Carraher blocked a shot by a Charger with just seconds remaining that kept the game from going to overtime and set up a doubleheader between Chapel Hill and Southern. The Spartans took down the Webb Warriors 72-66. The number one-seeded Orange Panther boys advanced with a 73-65 win against Northern Vance last night. Senior J.D. Brooks led the Panthers with a double-double, 22 points and 12 rebounds. Cardinal Gibbons travels to Hillsboro tonight for a 7 o'clock tip-off to see which team advances to the championship game. The Crusaders took down the Cedar Ridge Red Wolves 64-48. To see the 3A Big 8 tournament brackets, you can find this story on our website, chapelboro.com. And remember, tomorrow night's championship games hosted by Chapel Hill High School will be broadcast on WCHL and chapelboro.com beginning at 5 o'clock with tip-offs at 5:30 and 7 o'clock. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Now, let me get this straight, Rand. It was 69-18 last night, Chapel Hill High School defeating Orange. And Cardinal Gibbons, on the other hand, a team that Chapel Hill has really defeated a couple of times, cruised to a 71-17 victory, almost an identical score against Northern Vance.
In the pregame show of the Chapel Hill-Cardinal Gibbons game, the girls' game Monday night, I turned to Paul and I said, Cardinal Gibbons is the most dominant team in the Big 8 if you take away Chapel Hill.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's completely true. The only losses for Cardinal Gibbons this year are to the Chapel Hill Tigers, those being dominant losses. So it just shows you the tiers. You've got Chapel Hill among the best and above all.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Cardinal Gibbons above everybody else and really, really good.
A clear number two.
And then you just got the rest of the pack, and anybody could win any of those games at any given time.
Yeah. And we all know that you got to guard against, you know, that rubber match, or, well, you can't call it a rubber match, but that third meeting.
That third meeting is
hard to beat somebody three times.
It very much is. I'm going to say that I'm going to go out on a limb and say Sherry Norris has her ladies ready.
Yeah.
1 point. In the first two quarters, each quarter,
wow,
last night by the Tigers. And, you know, I've talked to people at Chapel Hill High School. It's not that they're running up the score. It's not that, you know, it's just they're just so dominant that they're, you know, they've got great defense and they keep the shots out. And, I mean, playing Cardinal Gibbons the other night, Cardinal Gibbons just couldn't hit anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 46-28 and the Crusaders just went cold against the Tigers.
You can't tell those young women not to score.
Right.
And you can't tell them not to play good defense.
Right. Right. So. And they're not, you know, they're not pushing the pace of the game. You know, there was a 100-17 game against Northern Vance this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they just, you know, they're hitting all their shots and there's nothing else they can do. I mean, she's got a deep roster and she puts in all the backup players and everything, but all the backup players are really good too.
Well, let's keep this thing going.
That's right.
That's amazing.
The quest for perfection marches on.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Well, the quest for perfection is over for Syracuse after upset last night by Boston College. My goodness.
Nothing like dropping your first loss of the season to a 2-10 conference team.
Just goes to prove you can't tell what's going to happen from one game to the next.
That's right.
You know, sometimes.
That's right. And it almost looked like it was in the stars last night because my Auburn Tigers, who are horrendous at basketball annually, almost took down Florida, who's the top-ranked team. So,
you never know.
It wasn't quite in the stars, but it certainly was for Boston College.
Well, we got a good game coming up tonight on WCHL, Carolina and Duke. Assuming, of course, that the Blue Devils can make it over here. Hopefully, we'll have really good weather.
So, Carolina, yeah, exactly. Carolina is receiving votes right now in the polls.
Should.
A win tonight.
They should.
I'll be interested to see if Carolina can win tonight, how much that will propel Carolina in the polls, because that would be an 8-game winning streak?
Yeah, exactly.
At that point, plus a top-5 win against Duke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be a completely different season from what Carolina fans were seeing earlier this season.
It would.
I'm just wondering if Kansas is waiting for us in the tournament.
Yeah, really. My goodness, I don't want that to happen again. It's 7:45, I guess we ought to go here.
That's
and
right.
Go ahead and tell people about what's happening at chapelbro.com.
Well, Jared Rogers has a relentless pursuit on our website, mm-hmm. chapelbro.com. He starts it off with, "You may now approach the platform." You'll want to check that out. In our photo galleries, we've got another great photo gallery up by the one and only Susan Murray. And yesterday it was a chocolate affair. Well, today it's the Sacred Arts Tour of 2014. Lots of great photos and many different galleries, not just today's gallery, but galleries from all across the last few months available there. Visit Hoop It Up with the Heels and follow all about Duke Carolina coming up tonight. Of course, pregame coverage begins here on WCHL at 7 o'clock. And then we send it off to the Tar Heel Sports Network at 8 o'clock for a just after 9 o'clock off on ESPN and the ACC network as well. So you can watch it locally on the ACC network. But turn down the sound as you can listen to it here on WCHL. Again, tip off just after 9 o'clock. Many great things going on. You can find the brackets of the high school basketball tournaments that are going on our website, chapelbro.com. Lots of teams back in action tonight. And be sure to play the restaurant bracket as well on mm-hmm. chapelbro.com. That has gotten a lot of following so far. Pick the best restaurant out of 64. We're down to the Edible Eight. And we're looking for just one to take the cake. So that will do it for chapelbro.com. Many, many more things that I didn't even mention, and you can find it all on chapelbro.com with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
Hey, we had that long conversation about basketball and didn't even mention the Carolina women who were on quite a roll
as
well.
Yes. Incredible.
And they're at Charlottesville tonight. Always a tough place to play. And let's hope they can keep it going, too.
Yeah. They've All right. had an amazing season so far.
Yes, they have. 7:47 at WCHL. Let's get right to today's opinion piece. Kristen Smith says there's a lot of misinformation about this particular topic. And she says what we're doing is fixing some infrastructure that's broken. We'll let you listen to her and draw your own conclusions.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Kristen Smith. Chapel Hill, we have a real opportunity before us. After several years of work, the town is looking to begin implementation of the Ephesus Church Road Fordham Boulevard Small Area Plan. The plan was approved in June 2011 and was crafted with the involvement of a diverse set of stakeholders. In an area that spans Willow Drive to the town cemetery, the implementation of the plan would bring much-needed transportation improvements, helping people to get around easier, and create a stormwater tax district, addressing flooding issues in a comprehensive manner. What does that all mean? We're fixing infrastructure that is broken. What happens when we make these investments of time and resources, we recoup a return of commercial reinvestment and subsequently increased tax revenue, not to mention additional affordable housing units, improvements to bike and ped infrastructure, and new green spaces. Unfortunately, there's some misinformation out there, particularly erroneously claiming that these efforts will harm small business and that the financing isn't a sound plan. So take a moment to learn for yourself. The town is hosting a public information meeting 4:30 to 6:30 tonight at the public library. There's a lot of information online, and I'm happy to try to answer your questions on the old-fashioned telephone. It's important for residents and businesses alike to know the plan and its potential. It's our opportunity, and we can't afford to miss it. This is Kristen Smith.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, I'm Don Bassnight with Weaver Street Realty. If you've been renting for a while but want a place to call your own, give us a call. With interest rates still low, it really is a great time to buy. We'll connect you with good lenders so you understand your choices. Whether you want the bus line, a bike path, or a bush hog trail, our seasoned brokers can help you make a sound decision. Weaver Street Realty in downtown Carrboro for over 30 years, locally owned since day one.
Join Aaron Keck and the WCHL team Saturday morning from 9 to 11 to celebrate Townsend Bertram & Company's huge winter sale. We'll be in-store broadcasting live, including the UNC Basketball Countdown to Tip-Off Show. Townsend Bertram & Company, Carrboro's premier adventure outfitters, will be offering awesome deals on shoes, apparel, and rental camping gear. So come see us on Saturday morning in downtown Carrboro at Townsend Bertram & Company, located in historic Carmel.
Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, one of just three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Now, favorite place for traffic, here's Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Just the usual suspects this morning, 15501 southbound between I-40 and Ephesus Church Road, seeing minor to moderate delays. 15501 northbound between Columbia and NC-54, seeing minor to moderate delays. And NC-54 heading eastbound between 15501 and Barbie Chapel Road, seeing some delays as well. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Serving fresh fruit coffee fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fuel up this morning at Cruisers. Good to go. Rather unusual day today. Really unreasonably warm weather. Mostly cloudy. 20% chance of showers this morning. Our high today, about 65. Tonight, partly cloudy. Not as cool with a low tonight in the low 60s. Can you believe that? And then tomorrow, nearly a 100% chance of rain. Some strong winds late in the day as well. Could get showers. Could get thunderstorms tomorrow. Not a great day with a high, again, though, in the middle 60s. 751 at WCHL. Ladies and gentlemen, Wayne Pond joins us now with the word of the day, and also, yeah, also news of something very special happening with the Orange County Literacy Council, of which he is a big part.
Well, Ron, that is the perfect setup. I appreciate it very much. Let me give you a real quick twofer here.
Okay.
Two for the price of one. The word of the day is futurity.
Mm-hmm.
F-U-T-U-R-I-T-Y. F as in father. F-U-T-U-R. I-T-Y, futurity. Believe it or not, sounds like a real moderny type word. Actually, it goes back to the 17th century.
Wow.
First use in Shakespeare, of all people. It means time to come, the future, the quality, or state of being of future events. And all of which is a huffy-puffy way to set up this little pitch I'd like to do about the Orange County Literacy Council. We have a big event coming up next Tuesday night, and I'm very proud to say that CHL is one of the principal sponsors of this event.
Absolutely.
Called Writers for Readers. We've got three terrific writers. We have a world-famous host interviewer, and what we're doing is raising money down at Top of the Hill, the restaurant downtown, for the very worthy, righteous work of the Orange County Literacy Council. The best way to sum it up is to say that, believe it or not, in this incredibly educated community that we live in, we've still got a functional adult illiteracy rate of, I think it's about 15-16%. Now, is just a disgrace.
That's really upsetting.
Yeah, man. I mean, given the circumstances that we live in, and the Orange County Literacy Council, in many ways, many shapes and fashions, addresses that very large problem. It does a lot of related kinds of work and projects, but that is one of the core missions. Anyway, Tuesday night, between roughly 6:30 and 8:30, 9 o'clock, the general public, and that includes you, Ron. We got to talk about this. I don't know if I'm going to see you next week or not. We want folks to come down to Top of the Hill and make a donation for a reception and meet. As I said, we got three writers: Sarah Dessen, Jay Lutze, and Danny Wallace from the English department here at UNC Chapel Hill.
Right.
Jay Lutze is a Chapel Hill native. That name will be familiar to many of your listeners. Sarah Dessen, of course, is an absolute phenomenon as a writer of young adult novels and has had a very successful career. They will be there. They'll mix and mingle. Their books will be available. And as I said, we're going to have just a grand time raising money for the Literacy Council.
And another another very famous person there, too.
Yeah. Say it again.
I was just going to say another very famous person there, too.
Well, that would be Ron Stutz, I hope.
No, Wayne Pond.
All right, pal. Well, you're a sweetheart. I hope we're not running out of time, and I appreciate this opportunity to try your patience. But Again, I wanted to mention Writers for Readers. The important thing here, how to get a ticket. Orange County Literacy Council, www.orangeliteracyaltogether.org. That's the way to check in with us and pick up some tickets.
Fantastic, Wayne.
Say it again.
Fantastic. I know it means a lot to you. Thanks so much.
All right, Sal. Listen, thanks for the opportunity to do this little horn. I will talk to you in the morning, big guy.
You got it. 7:55 at WCHL. It's Wayne Pond. And hope you remember the word of the day. Futurity, F-U-T-U-R-I-T-Y, means a state of being of future events. Time to come, the future. And next hour, at some point, I will give you the opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day. Spell it and find it. If you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. It's 7:55.
All right, WCHL, time for the clean joke of the day. I'm Ron Stutz along with the inimitable Lauren Stafford.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, you are inimitable, illustrious.
Don't use too many big words. I got thrown yesterday by all the big words in that Mae McClendon joke.
Rainbowish.
Well, that word's okay.
Yeah.
Even if it's made up. We have a cute joke today.
Uh-huh.
Cute. Kind of silly, but sometimes I like that.
That means it's not funny?
It is, but, well, you tell me. How about that?
Okay.
You tell me, because this joke was submitted by the critters at Paws Forever.
By the critters themselves?
That's what it says.
By the dogs and cats?
By the critters at Paws Forever.
All right. This ought to be interesting.
Man, you know, pets have really gotten good at computers.
No kidding. Wow, they're probably as good as I am.
Yeah. Well, there we go. All right. A well-known animal behavioral specialist recently stumped his smarty pants students in biology class.
Uh-huh.
He said, "Students, as we know, dogs, cats, and birds do not typically hang out together in the natural world. But there is one unusual time of year when your dog will stop standing around by you, your cat's temperature becomes cool, and your bird leaves its cajon and flies south."
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Why?
Why? Well, apparently they're all going to Mardi Gras.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras. Okay, well.
Thankfully, how cute the animals are makes up for how silly that joke was.
Well, exactly. I'm not going to count on the animals to provide us with jokes.
No,
that's for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, really. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
The Abundance Foundation is a group of activists working together to empower and educate our area about the importance of sustainable agriculture, renewable energy, and local economy through a variety of hands-on workshops, community-building events, and by actively engaging our young people in the mission. Tammy Warren is Executive Director of the Abundance Foundation, and she's today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
So our mission is to educate the public on renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, community, and we do that through a lot of fun things. And we have a workshop series, we work with children, we work in the school system on their food. We do all sorts of crazy fun things to get that message across.
Mm-hmm. And getting the message across has become a real passion for Tammy Swearin. And one of the fun events she's talking about is the Pittsburgh Pepper Festival.
The Abundance Foundation's mission is about local food, sustainable agriculture, renewable energy, and community. And this has all kind of culminated in this festival. And the message is, like, let's support our farmers. Let's really work on our sustainable agriculture, whether that's through, you know, policy or just through your buying power. And so we're just trying to get that message out in a really, really fun way that local food is, A, better for our environment and also for our health.
Tammy Swearin is the founder and executive director of the Abundance Foundation, and they're headquartered in Pittsburgh. If you'd like to find out more, go to theabundancefoundation.org. Tammy Swearin, today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
All right, it's 53 degrees in Chapel Hill. It's going to be actually a nice day. Got some clouds during the early part of the day. 20% chance of showers this morning. High today in the middle 60s. Weather forecast brought to you by your friends at Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Nothing beats Five Guys hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all of 15 free toppings. And Five Guys is in Metamot Village.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk, and Tar Heel Station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Carolina Baseball.
Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's News, Talk, and Tar Heel Station.
They may have found a way around the screening that is currently done on shoes.
Powerball payoff.
There was one grand prize winning ticket sold.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. A truce lasted just hours in Kiev. It's believed a new round of clashes between anti-government protesters and Ukrainian police has left more than 20 dead.
Live ammunition rang out this morning in the center of Ukraine's capital, dashing any hope that the truce would hold. We saw eight dead bodies, all of them protesters,